Good day, everyone. Welcome again to the Wings Radio program, where we hope you will be uplifted and encouraged by what you hear. We want to inspire you through Christ to find the power of God's Word to the challenging times in your lives. Be sure to visit the blog page for prophetic words, updates, and godly inspiration at www.wingsofprophecy.com. Now here's your host, Glenda Linkus.
Hello, believers. Welcome to the Wings Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Linkus, and today we're going to talk about the seven signs of your calling, seven signs you're being called by God, and seven signs you're walking in your calling from God. I actually had a different show planned this week, but God rerouted me, so this is what He wants. And I want to start out by telling you a story, and I got this story from a website called BillyBurke.org. The ministry of Catherine Kuhlman. If you don't know who Catherine Kuhlman is, she was decades ago, she was a very famous, like a faith healer. She would hold these big meetings, and a lot of people would get healed. And she had, I think, fiery red hair and was very dramatic. The ministry of Catherine Kuhlman began in 1933 and covered a time span of approximately 43 years. She was a unique instrument that the Holy Spirit was able to use in a very unique way. Her meetings were filled with the tangible presence of God, and healing and miracles became a regular part of her services. She was a woman of great humility and was very careful to give all the glory to Jesus. She strongly resisted being called a faith healer, and actually would only receive being called a handmaiden of the Holy Spirit. Catherine often said that she was not God's first choice for her assignment. She knew, and this she knew because the Holy Spirit told her, that a man was initially chosen for that role, but because he had said no to the Holy Spirit, it then came to her and she said yes. After many different phases of her ministry, Mrs. Kuhlman made a permanent move to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where she began to launch into a worldwide ministry. She would often say that her ministry was not to be connected to any one building. She knew that some were called to buildings, but not Catherine Kuhlman. Catherine Kuhlman's ministry influenced a lot of people. One of the people she influenced, in fact, was Pastor Benny Hinn, that's on television. He has a lot of healing miracles, I think, in his services, too. I don't watch him, but I see his program on the TV Guide. I find it interesting that anyone would dare say no to God. I find it very interesting that anyone could say no to God, someone who did so much for us. We're going to talk more about that. I think there's a lot of reasons why people say no. I want to first play for you an original song by my friend Jay Hudson called Holy Spirit, Ignite the Fire.
Thank you.
Absolutely love that song. My friend Jay has graced me with a CD of 10 original songs that he wrote, and they are all beautiful. And I'm going to be playing for them for you one at a time because I want to share them with you. He didn't send them to me to play on the radio. He sent them to me just as a gift, but I absolutely love them, and I have not stopped listening to them. Years ago, in the 90s, when I was first saved, it was in the first couple of years that I was saved, I read an article in one of the Christian magazines where a man was talking about, and I don't remember his name. I didn't know who all the famous TV preachers and evangelists and stuff were then. But the Lord had spoken to him one day and said, I want you to send these certain kind of pamphlets to like all the houses in the United States or something like that. I think it was at Easter. And it had been apparently many years before. And he said, Lord, why are you asking me when I already have so much on my plate? And the Lord said, well, I asked four other men before you, and they all said no. And I think I'm telling the story correctly. The Lord had asked four men to do this one thing, and they had refused him. I wonder how they're going to explain that to him when they get to heaven. But this man did it anyway, apparently, but years and years ago, back in 2000 or 2001, I think it was 2001, when I was between jobs and going through a real hard time, I got very battle-weary. I was fighting attacks from the devil right and left and going through all kinds of stuff, and I just got really battle-worn. And one day I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, can I just find a husband and have just a normal life? Can I just have a nice, normal, quiet life and not doing any of this other stuff? And when I finished that prayer, after I said that prayer, all of a sudden I heard these little spirits crying. And I recognized the voices and the cries from a vision that God had given me of prisoners, where he had shown me these little children that were locked up in this prison yard. And they were, horrible things were being done to them. And they were crying out and begging for mercy and just crying. And it was just so pitiful. And then they turned into full-grown men. But like some of them were just torsos. They were all missing their legs, I think. Some of them were missing their arms. And they all looked just shell-shocked on their face, like, what happened? And they were bleeding. And the Lord said, when he showed me the little children, he said, this is what I see when I look at them. And he might have shown me the torsos first and then the children. I don't remember. It's been so long. But those little spirits crying broke my heart. When he showed me that in the vision, I was on my face on the floor weeping, crying and asking, you know, Lord, what can I do? How can I help? When I prayed this prayer in 2001, whatever it was, he let me hear those spirits crying again. And he wouldn't turn them off. They went on for a while, and I said, Lord, please, please make them stop. Please make them stop. And after I begged and pleaded for a while, he spoke to me, and he said, if you do not answer the call that I have for you, if you do not answer the call that I have on your life, he said, you will stand before me at judgment, and you will answer to me for the souls I have called you to. And of course, I completely rescinded my request. But I realized, and because he said that so sternly to me, he was not even playing. I realized then that if there is a calling on your life, there is a specific group of souls that your personality and the gifts God places in you can reach for him. And it's not that those people don't still have free choice, but someone with a different set of gifts or a different anointing might not be able to get through to them, might not be able to reach them. He had assigned them to me. What exactly is a calling from God? A calling from God is basically an assignment that he has for you to use the gifts that he empowers you with to reach souls for Him, to minister to people for Him, to help people for Him, to do something for His kingdom. Moses got a call in Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Oreb. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not near here, put off your shoes from your feet, for the place whereon you stand is holy ground. And then he goes on to say, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I want you to go get my people out of Egypt. In Genesis chapter 6, Noah got a call. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repents me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And in verse 13, And God said to Noah, The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will restore them with the earth. Make you an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shall you make in the ark, and shall pitch it inside and outside with the pitch. And he goes on to give them all the instructions on how to make the ark. Jonah, in the first book of Jonah, got a call from God. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, I'm not sure how you say that name, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Now Jonah didn't answer quite so readily. He ran off to Tarshish first. And let us not be like that. Let us not run from the call of God. Because here's the thing, whatever God has called you to do, wherever he has called you to go, he will provide for you, and he will enable you and empower you and anoint you to do that. He doesn't just say, oh, well, just get up and go do that, and he doesn't give you anything to work with, y'all. And he'll send people to help you. If there's things in your calling you don't know how to do, there were for me, he sends people to help you, to instruct you in those things. Some people, I believe, are literally called to raise godly families. My mother had a gift for singing. She had a beautiful voice like an angel. And she also flowed in the prophetic. For a long time, she was the only person God spoke to me through, and I think it was because he knew that was the only one I trusted to take his words through. But her main calling may have been as a mother. She was very good at that. For many of us, the call is first inward. You know, an angel doesn't come down and announce to us our calling. That happened in biblical times. It can still happen today. It may happen a lot in the end times. I don't know. But I think how the majority of us living right now probably get the call is we feel the inward drawing first. You feel yourself drawn for a reason you cannot explain. You feel a very strong desire either to do a certain type of work or to a certain group of people or to a certain place. And the congregation of your church can often affirm what your gifts are. If your gifts are in evidence, you don't have to tell anybody what your gifts are. Your gifts should speak for themselves. Can I just say that? So I'm going to give you 7 signs that you're being called by God. The first is the inward leading, the drawing or the attraction to a certain type of work or a certain group of people that you feel real led to help or to a certain place where God wants to use you. Number 2, a very intense desire will follow that leading. At first, it will start out just being kind of not so strong, and then a very intense desire will set in upon you, like, I've got to go do that. Number 3, affirmations from your church family or possibly from other people around you, depending on who you hang out with the most, who also recognize your spiritual gifts and your anointings. Because whatever God calls you for, he will also anoint you for. Number 4, Has God spoken into your spirit, or if He has spoken to you through His Word in a very personal way that only you perceived and understood? How many times have you been sitting and reading the Bible and a scripture jumped off the page at you? That is God revealing something special to you personally. Okay, number five, have others identified the same gifts you need for the calling? Maybe you feel that you're called to pastor a church or to plant churches. Have people said, wow, you'd be a really good Bible teacher, or you seem like a pastor to me? One of the signs, too, is you will often discover within yourself gifts that are needed for the calling in ways that others are not able to discover them. Or God will show you in visions or dreams. Do miracles happen when you pray for people? If other people are not around when you pray for people and things happen when you pray for them, that's something that only you may know about right now. And number seven, doors of opportunity will begin opening. Okay, now, those are signs that you're being called, that you have a calling on your life that God wants you to answer. He's knocking on the door, and He wants you to answer the door and say yes. Now, let's talk about these are seven signs that God gave me that you're walking in your calling. When you are walking in your calling, you will not have a desire to leave it and go do something else. You will have a pretty much continual desire to do the work. And I say pretty much continual because if you're like me and you're just a workaholic, there are going to be times when you get a little burned out. But for me, that's my own fault. I just like the work I do, and sometimes I overdo it. Number two, you have been enabled, meaning obstacles have been removed that would previously have made you unable to answer the calling or unable to answer the calling right now. 1 Timothy 1:12, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Number three, you have peace about being in the calling, even if nobody around you has peace but you. And that is very common, by the way. You feel God's told you to go to such and such place and plant a church, and you're the only person who has the peace about doing that. Everybody around you goes, yeah, you're crazy, or you're hearing voices. Number four, you have the faith to walk in this calling, even if nobody around you does. So you have the faith that, hey, this is going to work. God told me to do it. I'm going to go there. I'm going to plant a church. Everything's going to work out. Number five, you have provision to walk in the calling. Note, this comes as you step out. It does not come up front. You cannot say to the Lord, okay, Lord, I'll go do that if you give me $100,000 up front. You are going to get total silence as an answer to that. Can I just tell you that? Why? Is God not going to provide for you? Of course He is. But if He gives you $100,000 up front, it don't take any faith, does it? God wants to build your faith, not your bank account. Okay? Provision comes as you are walking in the call. He don't give it to you up front. The Israelites got manna one day at a time. The only time they got more was the day before the Sabbath. Remember that? Number six, the anointing is present. One of the very strongest signs. Do people tear up when you sing or dance or when you play an instrument? Do they flock to the altar when you preach? Do people get saved when you evangelize? These are signs that the anointing is present. I have a cousin who plays steel guitar like nobody I have ever heard in my life. He has such an anointing on that steel guitar. As a matter of fact, he's done recordings with Walt Whitman, he told me. When he preaches, it's okay. But when he plays the steel guitar, you sit there with tears running down your face. That is the anointing. And number seven, fruit. Is your ministry producing fruit? Are lives being changed? Are souls being saved? That is the biggest sign of all that you are walking in your calling. Are you making a difference for the kingdom? Many people know that they are called to do something for the Lord, but they don't want to step out of their comfort zone. They don't want to live far away from everyone else. They don't want to be ridiculed by family and friends. They just don't want to. So they tell God no. Remember what happened in Jonah when he told God no? There's a whole book in the Bible that's dedicated to his story to show us what happens to people when they tell God no. It's very important that we understand. For those who do step out and say yes, the rewards are very great. But the anointing is not without a cost. The anointing is given freely by God. but it will cost you. Luke 12:48 says, "For unto whosoever much is given of him shall much be required." Number one, it will cost you your fleshly desires and having everything your own way. Number two, it will cost you your own plan for your future because you get it going God's way. You can only have the anointing when you go God's way. You can't have it going your way, no matter how much you beg and plead. Number three, how far God can take you and how widely He can use you and how high up He can exalt you depends on you. It depends on how much of you can lay down. Now, if you're just so special that you're in love with yourself and you think you're all perfect the way you are, this will be very hard for you. If you have a perfect plan already mapped out for your future, it will be very hard for you to surrender what you think is already perfect for His much more perfect plan. Because if you are that in love with your own way and your own self, you're kind of already a god in your own eyes, aren't you? I'm talking to somebody. God says, I'm talking to a woman who's listening to this. Woman of God, you are a god in your own eyes. You call yourself queen and goddess. You need to stop that. The Lord's not pleased with that. He says He's very not pleased with that. And He says there will be a penalty to pay. And He will start taking some things away from you if you do not cease and desist from that immediately. Stop calling yourself that. He is the God. He is to be praised. He is to be exalted. He is to be worshipped, not you. But don't worry if you think you're a god in your own eyes. He's got a cure for that too. You cannot carry the anointing of God if you put your faith in your own plan and your own abilities and your own specialness. The anointing is about His glory, not yours. And He does not share His glory with another. So if you want glory for yourself, you don't belong in ministry. The devil will kill you through your own pridefulness. Number four, it will cost you a lot of time with the Lord. Prayer time, worship time, praise time, time in the Word. Number five, it will cost you some time and trials in the wilderness as God patiently works the rough edges off of you so He can use you to a greater degree. Did y'all know that Gethsemane means oil press? It's no accident that Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before His crucifixion. It means to press the oil out of something. The anointing is the oil, of course. The anointing is the supernatural ability and power of God to do something. And when we get our own little special selves out of the way, God's power can flow through us, depending on whether we still have sin in our life. If you have sin, if you have willful sin in your life, God's power is not going to flow through you like that. The anointing is that unidentifiable something that makes people be drawn to us when we're doing that thing He's called us to do, whether it's singing, evangelizing, preaching, teaching, whatever it is. It's the measure of His Spirit that is present when we do it. When the Lord leads you into the wilderness to work something out of you that is displeasing to Him, as you're being tempted and tried, there is a supernatural ability that is given to you to withstand those trials and temptation. They will push you to your limits, that's true. And you'll feel like your faith can be stretched no further. That's also true. I remember being in the wilderness and I felt like a rubber band that was stretched to its limit and He was still pulling on it. But His power enables you to walk out those trials and resist those temptations because it is His will that you do so. And because you have submitted yourself to His will in the testing. When you finally clear the desert and you can see the way out, that supernatural ability and power of God stays on you. And it will remain on you as long as you are walking in His will and guarding it from evil influences. In other words, you can't carry the anointing and hang out with your friends doing drugs. You cannot carry the anointing and have an affair on your wife or husband. You cannot carry the anointing and steal from your boss. You cannot carry the anointing while playing sex games with your boyfriend or girlfriend. You must avoid evil influences if you want that anointing to stay on you and stay strong, okay? The Spirit of God will not let you operate in the anointing while willful sin and rebellion to Him is going on like that, or you will be like Samson. Judges 16:20, and she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Why did that happen to Samson? Because Samson was going in daily to a woman in the enemy's camp and also telling her the secret of the strength that God gave him, which he was not supposed to reveal to anyone. 2 Timothy 2:19-22. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. Let us not be those of dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Let us not be vessels of dishonor. That was me, not the scripture, saying that. When you answer the calling of God, you have to lay you down on the altar. It's not Burger King, and you're not going to get to have it your way. If you want it your way, just keep on going your way, but you won't carry the anointing with you, and you won't do great and mighty works that glorify God, because you cannot have both. So choose. There is a price for the anointing, but there is also a given result. Y'all remember the sons of Zebedee? This is in Mark chapter 10. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come to him, saying, Master, we would that you should do for us whatever we shall desire. And he said to them, What would you that I should do for you? They said to him, Grant to us that we may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left hand in your glory. You see what they said? In your glory. We want to share your glory, Jesus. Are we going to be like that? Oh, Jesus, we want to share your glory, but please don't make us go through anything hard. Come on, church. Come on, y'all. Come on. Do you just want to serve Jesus because you want to be glorified? You want to have some glory fall on you because you do mighty signs and wonders? He's not going to anoint that. Are you seeking souls for the kingdom of God? Or are you just seeking the applause of men? This is a very important question. If I had refused God's calling on my life, if I had refused him now and said, No, Lord, you know what? I just don't want to be attacked by the devil. I don't want to do what you've called me to do. It's too hard. It's too hard to live hundreds of miles away from my family all the time. It's too hard to be alone. It's too hard to be attacked by those who don't believe the same way. It's too hard. Get somebody else. If I had dared say that to the great Jehovah God, the mighty Yahweh, to Jesus, my Savior, who hung naked in agony on a cross, bleeding for hours before he died, being mocked and spit on by everybody walking by, I would not dare to ask God for one single blessing in my life. I wouldn't dare. Why should he bless me if I was not even willing to do the work of the kingdom for him, to share in the sufferings of Jesus? If I'm a joint heir with Jesus and I want to share everything else, but I don't want to share any of the hard stuff, if I was more concerned about my flesh and my feelings than the eternal salvation of souls precious to him that are on their way to hell for all eternity right now, yeah, I don't think so. The souls of my future brothers and sisters. I am saved and you are saved because somebody said yes. How dare any of us not be willing to step up and pay it forward? Do you dare refuse the Almighty God? He holds your next breath and the next breath of everyone and everything you hold dear. If you would dare to refuse him, you're braver than I am because I know him. I know his power. And I would not dare. I would never be able to go to sleep again. You're afraid of being attacked by the enemy? Your refusal to answer God's call gives him legal right to attack you. Did you know that? So you better get ready for a bunch of attacks because you're swinging the door wide open to him. Jesus, I don't want to work for you, so come on in, devil. Yep. Proverbs 1:7 says, The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Please don't be foolish. Please do not be foolish enough to turn down Almighty God in heaven. Because Proverbs 1:24 through 26 has something very frightening to say for those who refuse. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. You wouldn't let me straighten you out. You wouldn't let me reprove you. You wouldn't answer my calls, what he's saying. Verse 26 says, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear comes. That's some scary stuff, y'all. That means he's going to laugh at you when you're in trouble and you need help. He's going to laugh at you. He's not going to help you. Is that what you want? Especially in this time frame? If we say anything but yes to God when he asks us to walk into our calling, to choose his path for us over some other path we might have chosen, if we say no, we are telling him he is not the most important thing to us, that he is not Lord over every area of our life, that he is not our God. Our own way is our God if we say no. Think very carefully before you say no to God. That's serious business. If you know you're being called and you're saying no, you are standing on very dangerous ground. Read the book of Jonah. Father, I lift up every listener to you, and I ask, Lord, that you would make your callings known where they need to be known. I pray you would make the desire so strong as to be irresistible to those who need clarification. Father, I pray you would enable each one of us to answer your exact calling the minute you want us to. I pray you would remove obstacles this day, and you would open the doors of opportunity wide, that you would give us courage and boldness to be lights for you in this dark world, that many souls would come into your kingdom, Lord, that you might be glorified. Help us to rely on your strength when we're weak, to feast on your word daily to feed our spirits, and make us more like your Son each day. Precious Jesus, we long to come home to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to leave you with another beautiful original song by Jay Hudson. It's called Lead Them in Truth. You can find Jay's music on cdbaby.com. Just search Jay Hudson. This CD is called The Reason.
Church, it's time that we rise up. God's doing a new thing. Amen. Rebirth in his power and love, in his compassion, we won't win. On the other side of our obedience, lost souls are crying loud. I can hear them say, submit to God, so you can lead. You can lead us out. In his power and love, in his compassion, we won't quit. On the other side of our obedience, our souls are crying loud. I can hear them say, submit to God, so you can lead us down. Will the harvest keep growing? But the workers are few. When God's looking for a heart, can he count on you? Will you be like a Moses? And will you lead them through? Take the hand of God chosen and lead them in truth. Thank you. harvest is great, but the workers are few. When God's looking for a heart,
he's looking for a heart,
and it can't on you. Will you be like Moses? And will you lead them through? Take the hand of God chosen. Let's lead them in truth. Come on, lead them, lead them, lead them in truth. Come on, lead them in truth. Come on, lead them, lead them, lead them, lead them in truth. Come on, come on, come on, come on, and lead them, lead them in truth. Come on, lead them, 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 lead them. Come on, lead them, lead them, lead them, lead them. In truth, in truth, in truth. Come on, lead them in truth. Lead them, lead them, lead them. Lead them in truth. Come on, lead them, lead them, lead them. Lead them in truth.
Well, I hope this show has been a blessing to you and that it has helped you in your walk with Christ. I thank you for listening. I hope that you have a really great week. God bless you. Bye for now.
Thank you so much for tuning in to hear Glenda Linkous on Wings Radio. We hope that you've been encouraged and inspired in your daily walk with Christ. You can find more of Glenda's talks on her YouTube channel, Texas Author and the Number One. You can contact Glenda by email at wingsofprophecy@gmail.com or by mail at Glenda Linkous, P.O. Box 127, Princeton, Texas 75407. Wings Radio is a non-denominational program and is not affiliated with any other church or nonprofit organization.
Have you ever gone through a time in your life where suddenly it just felt like your whole life was falling apart? I call these experiences the wilderness experiences. Wilderness experiences are time of great uncertainty and change. There are times when our faith is tried and refined. After many experiences, the Lord spoke to me to write The Wilderness Companion, which is a virtual roadmap through the desert times of your life. Find out why you've been led to the wilderness. Find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving provision in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by learning how to partner with the Lord instead of working against Him. Every Christian needs to read The Wilderness Companion. It's by Glenda Lomax, and it's available on Amazon.com or wingsofprophecy.com. Amazon.com, The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax.
Just how soon will Jesus return? There's a 2,500-year-old prophecy spoken to this generation of Americans that is directly connected to the second coming and is happening right now. Learn about it and a whole lot more in my new book, America, Isaiah is Warning, God's Judgment is Coming. Available where books are ordered and at americasjudgment.com. America, Isaiah is Warning.